We'll say good morning. Let's begin. All right, so today's daf is Tes Zayin. We are actually beginning from the Mishnah Teslav Amud Beis, New Perek. All right, so says the, first I want to start, he's not here yet, but I want to thank you, Huda Neuberger, for giving the shir while I was gone. It's always wonderful to have the schus, to have one of the Bnei Chabura be able to give the shir in my absence. Okay, so says the Mishnah. Ha'isha, remember, Tesvav Amud Beis Mishnah. Ha'isha shenis armala on this garsha. So woman is widowed or divorced. He omeres bisula nisa sani. So she claims that at the time of our marriage, I was a basula. And therefore what? And therefore entitled to 200 zuz. V'hu omer, lo, kela amana nisasicha. And she claims that, no, he claims you weren't a basula, you were an amana. And therefore, again, what's the value of your ksuba? Right, 100 zuz. However, so the Rebbe says, so now the shaila is, what do you do? So now you have, again, you have husband saying that her ksuva is 100. She claiming that her husband is 200. Now the Gemara is going to ask, why don't you just look at the ksuva? So we'll discuss that. So the Mishnah says like this, here's what we do. Now this is actually going to be a very interesting Mishnah, because many of the things, common practices that we do by a wedding actually come from this Mishnah. But we'll explain that in the coming days. If there are edim that she went out to her chuppah behinuma. Now Rashi says over here, begimara mefarish. We don't know what a hinuma is yet. We'll find that out actually in tomorrow's daf. So if there are witnesses that she went out with a hinuma, virosha parua, and her hair was uncovered, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, sara al ksefeha, that her hair was down on her shoulders. So this is actually very interesting. So this saying that when the Bisula used to get married, she would dafka wear her hair down at the wedding. So essentially the Gemara saying is like this. We pull out the wedding album, or of course what we do is we try to recollect to what happened at the wedding. And if there were certain Bisula wedding practices that occurred, that's a right that she's a Bisula. So she went out with this hinuma, which we don't know what it is yet. Or if we know there were edim that she went out to her wedding with her hair down, that's an indication that she's a ksuva. Therefore, therefore, that's a raya that her ksuva ultimately again is 200 zuz. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says, Af chiluk klayos raya. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says, even if they handed out parched grain. Even if they handed out parched grain. So apparently, again, at the wedding of a basula, they used to go ahead and hand out parched grain. Amar afchi l'klayas rayu. Umod Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua agrees that what to be omer lechaveiro, sode zu shalavicha. So we'll say, listen to this. So that's the first piece over here. So machlokusin, husband and wife, if she was a basula or if she was an almana at the time of the marriage. So the Gemara seems to say that lemaisa, we go ahead and we look at where their practices of a basula wedding that occurred. If so, then lemaisa we treat her like a basula. If not, we treat her like a bula. And that comes on Rabbi Yoshua. Mod Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua agrees. But omer lechaveiro sada zu shalavicha haisa v'lakachtia heimenu. Let's listen to this interesting case. So I go over to Reuven. I say to Reuven, I purchased this field from your father. You should know this field that I'm living on right now. It used to belong to your father, and I purchased it from him. So even Rabbi Yoshua agrees, Shehu Neman, that I am believed to make that claim. Why? Top of Tazayin, Shapes Sha'asar, Huapes Shehitir. Because literally the mouth that prohibited is the mouth that permitted. In other words, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Top of Tazayin, Vizeh Eno Yodea Shaisa Shal Aviv, Ela Alpiv Shalzeh, Uma Sha'asar Harihitir. Remember, when I say to Reuven, you know, this field used to belong to your father, and now I bought it from your father. Now, Reuven never knew that this field used to be his father. I could have just as easily kept my mouth closed, and no one would have known the difference. So this is the concept of hapesh she'asar, hu hapesh she'hitir. The mouth that literally prohibited, i.e. the mouth that brought forward this additional information, is also the mouth that is believed to qualify that same information. V'im yesh edim shehu she'ishal aviv, but if there are witnesses that the field used to belong to Reuven's father, v'hu omer lekachtia hemeno, and I said, oh, but I bought it from him, enor ne'eman. In that case, I'm not believed. Why? Because in that case, it's my word against two witnesses, and obviously my word against two witnesses is not going to hold too much water. Says the Gemara, Taima de'ika edim, halak edim ba'am hemen. Now, what's interesting about, going back to the first case, right? The couple's getting divorced. Woman claims that she was a besula at the time of the wedding. Husband claims that she was a beula. What happened? So the Mishnah said, if she's able to bring witnesses, then we believe her. The inference from that is what? What if there are no witnesses and it's just his word against her word? It sounds like what? Sounds like we believe the husband, and therefore she'll only get a ksuva of 100 zuz. So the Gemara says, now our Mishnah would apparently not reflect the view of Rabbi Gamliel. Why? Di Rabbi Gamliel ha'amar ihi mehemna. Because it will say, remember again, this goes back to Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. No, excuse me. Sunday, Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday's daf all made reference to the ongoing machlokis between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel was always the one who said what? That when she makes a statement, we believe her statement. And Rabbi Yoshua was the one who kept saying what? Lo mi piha anu chayin. We do not live based on her words. So based on our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Gamliel, if a woman were to say, I was a besula at the time we got married, according to Rabbi Gamliel, we would believe such a claim. So the fact that we don't believe such a claim without witnesses indicates that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yoshua, of Rabbi Gamliel, to which the Gemara says, "Ma'afilu tim Rabbi Gamliel." It's not true. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Gamliel. Why? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Gamliel hasam ela babari v'shema. Rabbi say, when did Rabbi Gamliel say that we believe the woman? That was in a case of bari v'shema. Rabbi say, like for example, what was one of the cases? Look at Rashi, Bari Vishema, Gabi Mishairas Tani Nasti. He toenes Barilihu Vahu inotoin Ella Shema Achlo Irastih Taha Inyo de Masai Nansa. Well, says, remember again, this is the first mission that we had between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, get married, she's not a basula. So she claims I was violated after Erisin. As I left this Erisin, he claims that what? Well, maybe you were violated maybe you were with a man prior to Erisin. Now, if she was with a man prior to Erisin, then that's called what? Then he can claim what? He can claim what? Mekachtos. So we'll say, Rabbi Gamliel said, in that case, we believe her. So why do we believe her, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Gamliel, oh, that was the case of Bari Vashema. Her claim is definitive. His claim is a maybe. Now remember, he's not saying, I know you were with a man prior to Erisin. What is he saying? He's saying, it's possible you were. Oh, that's what Rabbi Gamliel says, that Lamaisa bari v'shama bari ad, if we believe the husband. However, again, aval hacha, be bari u bari la. So what's happening over here? This case of the Mishnah is a case of bari u bari. What's happening? She's saying, when we got married, I was what? I was a basula. He's saying, when we got married, you were a Ba'ula, whatever it was, but you weren't a basula. So he's not saying maybe. He's claiming bari. She's claiming. She has a definitive claim. He has a definitive claim. Even in such a situation like that, even Rabbi Gamliel, who normally believes her only when her claim is definitive and his claim is maybe. But if both of them are lodging definitive statements, then Einachinami, the only way to go and resolve this deadlock, this marital deadlock, is how? With witnesses. So the Gemara says, My karile, habari barihu. So the one who asked the question about Rabbi Gamliel, what was he thinking? Meaning, it seems like a pretty pashut answer. Even Rabbi Gamliel would agree with the statement of the Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, no. The one who asked the question felt the following: Kevin derav nashim besulos nisos ki bari v'shema dami. Now, the one who asked the question about the fact that our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rabbi Gamliel, he figured like this: we have another rove. What's the rove? That the rove of women who get married are besulos. The rove of women who do get, meaning most of the statistical, most marriages are first marriages. And therefore, Lemaisa, I would have thought that because there's a rove that says that she's a basula, therefore, again, it really makes her claim like a bari and makes the husband's claim like a shema. Kamashmala nat. V'hachi nami mistabra. This appears to be clear. Midiktani, from the fact that the Mishnah said, Umod Rabbi Yoshua, that Rabbi Yoshua agrees that Rabbi Yoshua is moda. It says the Gemara, I amrit bishlama ayi Rabbi Gamliel b'moda. Shapir. So that statement that Rabbi Yoshua agrees, that the Mishnah says, Umod Rabbi Yoshua, makes sense like this. You can start like this, that there's a case where Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Yoshua, and there's a case Rabbi Yoshua agrees with Rabbi Gamliel. When does Rabbi Gamliel agree with Rabbi Yoshua? That's the first case in the Mishnah where she definitively claims that she's a basula. He definitively claims that she was a ba'ula, and therefore lo mi piha anu chayin. We cannot just automatically proceed based on her testimony, and therefore halacha lemaisa, Halacha l'maisa, they're in a little bit of a deadlock. So you're going to need Eidos. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, and there's a case where Rabbi Yoshua agrees with Rabbi Gamliel. And what's that case? That case is the case of the purchasing of the field. So the Gemara says, if you say that Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Yoshua in the previous case, then it makes sense to say that Rabbi Yoshua agreed with Rabbi Gamliel. Ela'i amrit lo'ai Rabbi Gamliel b'moda. But if you say that Rabbi Gamliel is not agreeing with Rabbi Yoshua in the previous case, the Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua l'man moda, then who is Rabbi Yoshua agreeing with? To which the Gemara says, me Savris, Rabbi Yoshua, hi Pirkin Koi. Do you think that Rabbi Yoshua is commenting on the previous case of the Mishnah? No. Pirkin Kamakoi. Rabbi Yoshua is actually referring back, Rabbosai, to the previous Perek. So what does that mean? Ahia, which case is he referring to? Ilema. So I'll say, so now with the Gemara, with the Mishnah, let's just pause here for just a moment. What the Gemara now is suggesting is the following, that when the end of the Mishnah says, Umode Rabbi Yoshua, that Rabbi Yoshua agrees in the case of where I tell Reuven, you don't know this, but this field used to belong to your father, and I bought it from him, that I am believed when I make that statement. Why? Because apesh sha'asar, hu apesh shehitir. Now, I will say, this is a novelty when it comes to Rabbi Yoshua. Why? Because Rabbi Yoshua was recorded many times in a previous parak as saying what? One phrase, lo mipia anuchain, which means, just because a person says something doesn't mean I automatically believe it. You got to do better than just say it, right? You have to actively go out and somehow support it. So the Gemara says, so now what the Gemara is suggesting is Rabbi Yoshua's moda is actually not connected to the first part of this Mishnah, but rather umod Rabbi Yoshua is connected to a case in the previous parak. Which case? So if in the case that we had in the previous parak where a woman was pregnant and we asked her, who's the father? Literally, what's the nature of this fetus? Namely, who's the father? So, and she says, "Me ish ploni u'kohen hu," and she claims it's from so and so, and he's a kohen. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, omrim ne'emenes. So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Gamliel say that we believe her. Rabbi Yoshua, omer lomi piano chayin, and Rabbi Yoshua says that we don't believe her. So, even Rabbi Yoshua, who said that we don't believe her in last perek, will agree what? Agrees over here in this perek that when I make the claim about purchasing the land from Reuven's father, I am believed. To which the Gemara says, "Well, one second, hasam my migo iga." Now, what's the migo in that previous case? That was, remember, hapesha asar hu hapesha hiti. We're going to spend much more time on this. But that concept, that the mouth that prohibits is the mouth that permits, essentially, is an extension of the principle of migo. Because what does migo say? What does migo say? Migo says, if I make claim A, but claim B would have been even stronger, and I would have believed it, but I believe I made that claim. The fact that I made the inferior claim bolsters the veracity of that claim. So Pesh Asher Pesh Hedir is the same idea. I come forward, I give information. I could have kept my mouth shut and no one would have known the difference. I never had to say anything about purchasing this land from Reuven's father and no one would have ever known. When I come along and in fact introduce that information, that indicates what? That indicates that Lamaisa, I must be telling the truth. So apparently what the Gemara is trying to structure is like this. Rabbi Yoshua didn't agree with Migo in the previous perek, agrees with Migo over here. But I ask the Gemara, what's the case of the Migo? What's Migo is there? When she's pregnant, Hare Kresa Ben Shineha. There's no Migo there, Abbas, because what could she say? What could she say? That I never had relations with him? So again, you know, as I mentioned when we were learning this in Eretz Yisrael, you know, wrong religion. Hey, if you're going to claim that you're pregnant without relations with a man, so that doesn't really fly in Judaism. Ella aha. Rather, Rabbi Yoshua must be commenting on another case. What's the case? We saw her speaking with a man. And remember, we also had the machlokis as to what midab is Shabbos is daf. What does speaking mean? What does speaking mean? So what happened? The Amrula, we said to her, Mativo shel ish zeh, what's the story with this guy? And she claims, ish ploni yokoinu. She claims he's a kosher. He's a kosher. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, omrim ne'emes. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar say, we believe her. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar, we believe her. What does that mean? We believe her, and therefore what? Even if we assume that she had relations with this man, she's still permitted to what? She's still permitted to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, lo mipi anochayin. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, we do not live by her words, i.e. we don't believe her. So the Gemara says, so remember, so now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is in last parak in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua said, we don't trust her words. Here we're saying that what? Because why? We don't trust the Migo. But here we're saying in this parak, meaning in this case of the real estate, that we do trust the words of the person making the taina. To which the Gemara says, hasam my Migo ika. So what Migo is there in that previous case? Hanichal is Ziri Da'amri Ma'a Midabaras Nistira. So according to Ziri, who said that Midabaras speaking doesn't just mean speaking, but rather means seclusion. So what's the Migo? Migo Deb'i Baya Amra No Nivalti. Vika Amra Nivalti Mehemna. So the Migo is what? She could have said, I was alone with him, it's true, but I never had relations. But now what is she saying? She's saying, I had relations, but what? But what? He's a kosher. So that's where everyone else believes in Rabbi Yeshua does not. El Ravasi Damra Mai Medaberes Nivalis Mai Migo Ika. But according to Ravasi, who says that Medaberes means she had relations with him, then what Migo is there? The Ela Aha. Rabbi, remember, just keep your eye on the ball. What are we trying to figure out over here? In our Mishnah over here, in this new Perek, we have a new situation now, a new situation where Lemaisa, Rabbi Yeshua, who did not believe a person's statement, even though there was a Migo, he didn't believe in the previous parak, believes the statement here in this Mishnah because there is a Migo. That Migo is called Hapesha Asar, who Hapesha Hitir. That's the Migo. So the Gemara is just trying to figure out, so now, and when it says Umod Rabbi Yeshua, Mod Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara is suggesting, is not going on this Mishnah, but Mod Rabbi Yeshua is a corollary to the Mishnah in the previous Perek, where even though Rabbi Yeshua didn't agree with the Migo in that case, but we have to identify what that case is, he agrees that Migo exists in this case. So we're trying to figure out now is, what is that case? So the Gemara goes, rather it must be this case. He omeres mukaseitz ani. She claims I was a mukaseitz. Remember, they get married. Turns out that she's not a basula. So what happens? She claims, right, I'm not a basula. Why? Because I'm a mukaseitz. Because I was injured. Vuomerlo ki elo drusas ishat. It's not true. Rather, again, you had relations with a man. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, omrim ne emeres. Rabbi Lazar say that she is believed. For Rabbi Yeshua, omer lo mi piyana chayin. No. We don't believe her. To which the Gemara said, well, 1 second. Hasam, my Migo Ika. So what Migo is there in that particular case? Bisham, the Rabbi Lazar, the Amar, Bemana, Velo Klom, Migo, Di Baya Amra, Mukas, Eats, Anitach, Techa, the Islam Asayim. Oh, so we'll say, if you hold like Rabbi Lazar, who holds that a Mukas Eitz, if she was a Mukas Eitz before Erusin, then what? Then she gets 100. But if she became a Mukas Eitz after Erusin, then she gets 200. Oh, then there's a Migo. Because if she says, I was a Mukas Eitz before Erusin, she could have just as easily said what? I was a Mukas Eitz after Erusin. The fact that she said, however, that I'm a Mukas Eitz before Erusin lends veracity to her claim. Ella. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, holds that every mukaseitz only gets a mana. Then ultimately, again, what migo does she have? Ella aha. Rather, you're right. We must be referring to another case. Hanosi has the ish of lamatz labesulim. A man married a woman she didn't find besulim. He omeres misheras tani nasni v'nestap chasadehu. So she claims I was violated after erusin, and literally your field was flooded. I.e., your bad mazel. You're bad mazel. V'hu omer lo ki ella ad shlo erastich. And he claims, no, you were with a man before erusin, and therefore the whole thing is a mekach tos. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, omrim ne'emenes. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar say that she is believed. Rabbi Yeshua over in Lomi Pir Anuchayin. And Rabbi Yeshua says that no, we do not live by her words. So the Gemara says, Demigo, what's the Migo here? Di'i baya amra mukas eats anitach techa de'lo ka pasla nafsha mikuna. Because Rosa, what could she have said? She could have said, I am a mukas eats. I became Mikwas Eitz after Erusin, in which case, what Rabbo say, she would not have precluded herself from ever marrying a Kohen. Because if she's violated by a man, then the Maisa, depending on the circumstances of the man, she is prohibited from marrying to the kuna. So that's the Migo. The fact that she could have said, I was a mukas eitz after Erusin, but instead I was violated after Erusin, she could have made a better claim. Meaning when she says, I was violated, she could have made a better claim, I was a mukas eitz. So that's the Migo. The fact that she made the inferior claim lends veracity to her claim. V'ka'amra na'anasti, tika pasla nafsha mikuhuna. Mishum hachi, ka'amra Rabbi Gamliel de mehemna, v'ka'amra Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Gamliel, bahai migo dahacha modina lacha, bahu migo dahasam, paligna ilucha. Oh, so we'll say, so here we have it, Baruch Hashem. So now the Gemara says, here's what's happening. So what happens? In the case where what happens, the man marries a woman, and then it turns out that what? That she wasn't a basula, and she claims that I was violated during Erusin, and he claims, no, that you were with a man before Erusin, therefore it's a mekachtos. Rabbi Gamliel says, we believe the woman. Rabbi Yeshua says, lo mi piya anu chayin. They're both saying, now the novelty of question Rabbi Yeshua's rule is that there is still a migo there. What was there's a reason to believe her. What's the migo? The migo, she could have easily have said that I was a mukas eitz after Erisin, which would have been an incredible claim. But she doesn't make that claim. Instead, she says, I was violated after Erisin. And yet, despite that Migo, Rabbi Yeshua still does not believe her. Oh, now do a little bit of cut and paste. Says Rabbi Yeshua, wraps up this conversation in this Mishnah. Umode Rabbi Yeshua. But there is a Migo that Rabbi Yeshua does agree with. That Migo is called what? That Migo is called what? Hapesha Asar, hu Hapesha Hitir. There is a Migo case, i.e. in this case where I come over to you, and Reuven, you're never going to believe it. You know that, you know my house? You know that piece of land I bought from your father? I bought from your father 20 years ago. Reuven says, wow, I never knew that before. Says Rabbi Gamliel, says Rabbi Yeshua, even I will agree that in that case, I am believed. I, the purchaser, am believed. Why? Because had I not said anything, I didn't have to say anything. The fact that I volunteered that information indicates or highlights or backs up the veracity of that particular claim. So says the Gemara, one second. Michti, haimigo vahaimigo. Maishna haimigo mehaimigo. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Amigo is amigo is amigo. So either you buy into the concept of migo, or you don't buy into the concept of migo. So why is it that in the migo of last parak, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't agree, but in the migo of this parak, he does? Meaning, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe migo for her to say that she was violated after Erisin. But yet he does believe in the migo over here by the real estate case. Why? Why the distinction? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Hacha. Ain shor shachut lefanecha, hasam hare shor shachut lefanecha. Well, say it's a very simple distinction. Here, look at Rashi. Hacha gabi sade ain shor shachut lefanecha sheale aleiv ba'alav letvoa mishachtos. You will say here, literally, there's no slaughtered ox. What does it mean there's no slaughtered ox? Well, slaughtered ox is this euphemism that the Gemara means that if the ox is slaughtered and it's laying right in front of me, the obvious question is going to be, who slaughtered it? Meaning, there's no, like, I guess we'd call it contemporary, like a smoking gun, right? There's nothing to even pique one's curiosity in the real estate case. Remember, I'm living in my house, Reuven's going about his business. There's nothing that pushes this issue to the forefront as, wow, what happened over here? Kolomar, im Rami Rashi, im Shasak ze, lo hayu orim hilchach, ilav de davar pashatu, shalakha imenu, lo hayu omer lo shalavicha haisa. I could have easily just kept my mouth shut, not said anything. And had I not said anything, again, no one would have known the difference either way. Therefore, the fact that I come along and actually do say something backs up the veracity of my claim. However, again, aval gabi lo matzla besulim, shor shachot lefanecha, besulim shalom matzla heim his sisuhu lavol abezdin. But Rabbi Yosei, Rabbi Yeshua will say, no, in the previous case of the besulim, there is a smoking gun. Right, there's absolutely a smoking. There's a shor shachav. There's a slaughtered ox in front of me. I.e., we've got a problem. Once we've got a problem, Rabbi Yeshua says, then you can't rely on Migo. So essentially, Rabbi Yeshua says, is I could rely on Migo essentially when Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, when I am the one who brought up the issue and the issue was a non-issue. But if the issue is already there, front and center, then Lamais Amigo is not enough to resolve that particular issue. The Gemara goes weiter. Okay, fine. So stop. So that's it. So we'll say, so now what we've established is, so Mishnah accomplished on part one, we now understand the Mishnah. That Modi Rabbi Yeshua is actually not related to the first part of the Mishnah, but instead Modi Rabbi Yeshua is related to the previous parak. That even though Rabbi Yeshua made it sound like I never hold of Migo, it's not true. There is a case of Migo that he subscribes to, namely Hapesh Asar, who Hapesh Shehitir, even Rabbi Yeshua. Now, so now you understand a fundamental dispute. You have Rabbi Gamliel who says, I always believe Migo. And yet, that's ultimately what fuels the Ne'emanos. That and Chazaka. It's not just Migo, it's also Chazaka that allows Rabbi Gamliel to say we believe the woman. Rabbi Yeshua says, I reject the notion of Migo, essentially, when there's a Shor Shachat, when there's a slaughtered ox, when it's clear that we have a problem, Migo is not enough to resolve the problem. But when there was no problem at all, and somebody brought new information to the forefront, then I will believe that Migo allows for the resolution of that case. Good. Weiter. So we'll say, now let's go back for a second. Let's go back to the first case in the Mishnah. That, remember, again, first case in the Mishnah said, she's claiming she was a Basula at the time of the marriage. He's claiming that she was a Ba'ula. So now what happens? So the Mishnah said that they have to bring Eidos. So the Gemara said, I don't understand. Let's say there is no Eidos. Even the absence of Eidos, why don't I rely on the Rov? The Rov is that the majority of women get married as Besulos. So why doesn't the Rov dictate that in a situation of dispute, Lemaisa, we will assume that Halacha Lemaisa, she is a Besula? To which the Gemara says, Amar Avina, Mishum Di'ika Lemaima Rov Noshim Besulos Nisos, Umiot Almanos. Oh, Because although it's true that there is a rove of women who get married as a besula, there's also a miut of women who get married as almanos, i.e. second marriages, and watch this, and whoever gets married as a besula has a kol, meaning that there's a kol that goes out, meaning it's spoken about, something that, now this Rashi says, yesh lakol, the harbe yodim shetze behinuma. So also understand, and the truth is, this is true today also, obviously, first marriages are a much bigger deal than second marriages, just even in the scope of the simcha that's made, right? People make a much bigger deal for a first marriage than they do for a second. So what happens? That's what it means by a kol. Everybody's there. People remember what the kala looked like. Remember, again, we'll also see later on, they used to walk the kala from her father's home. It's not like today where everybody shows up at a hall. They used to walk the kala from her father's home to the chassan's home. Was a big deal. That has a kol. Vizu, hoil ve'in lakol, Israeli ruba. Now, boss, now this woman, there's one thing that she clearly misses, which she clearly does not have, which is what? She doesn't have a kol. There's no call, meaning there's no one who remembers her wedding. And there's no one who remembers her hinuba, whatever that is. No one remembers her going out with her hair down. So you put this all together, and what happens? The absence of a call, therefore islila ruba. Therefore her rove is damaged, or her rove is diminished. Not damaged, is a better word. Her rove is mitigated. Compromised. Oh, the rove is compromised. Thank you. So because the rove is compromised, I need edus in order to bolster claim that she is an almana. That she's a psul, excuse me. Ekal, and he says psul yesh la kol. So I don't understand. If that's the case, that whenever woman gets married as a psul, there's a kol. Ki asu edim mai havi. Right? Rabbi says, so who cares? Even if witnesses show up, we shouldn't believe them. Why? We should say, hanach sahadi shakrin in here. Rabbi says, listen to how this is amazing. Right? So look what the Gemara says. Okay, so you're telling me now that when a psul gets married, there's a kol. So I'd say like this. So now witnesses show up and say that she was a basula when she got married. I'd say like this. Maybe they're false witnesses. Why are they false witnesses? What happens? I'm gone for a week and this is what happens over here, right? So because what happens? Because if they were real witnesses, then what? Then there should have been a call. I mean, it's a little bit of circular logic. What it's saying is that if she really was a basula, then there should have been a call. And if there's not a call, then what? Then she's not a basula. And therefore, even if witnesses show up and say she was a basula, perhaps we shouldn't believe them because there is no call. To which the Gemara says, "Ela amravina, oh, rov hani says basula yesh la call." Vizu hoil ve'in la call Israeli ruba. Well, say no. Look, obviously there are situations where people forget, or perhaps it was a smaller wedding, or it was a family that was new to town. So yes, the majority of women who get married are besulos, and the majority of besulos who get married have a call. But what? But there are. It's not impossible to have a case of a woman who's a besula who didn't have a call, and therefore the ma'isa, again, if you don't have a call, we can't automatically therefore assume you are a besula based on the rove. But if you bring testimony to bolster your claim that you are a besula, then lemaisa again you are believed. So go right there. So we'll say again, that's second piece over here. So now we understand over here that we have a chazaka. The chazaka is rove women get married as a besula. And also, if you get married as a basula, the assumption that there's a kol. However, again, what the Mishnah teaches me is the absence of a kol. This is very important. The absence of a kol doesn't automatically say that a woman is what? Is not a basula. All it says is that for whatever the reason, there is no kol, and therefore, lemaisa, I will need edim to back up that claim. Says the Gemara, im yeshla edim shiata sabi hinuma. So we'll say, now remember, we're not defining what hinuma is yet. All we're saying is one of the ways in which you could attest to the fact that a woman got married as a basula is if she went out with a hinuma. We'll say maybe she'll do the following. So remember, this case of the Mishnah only gets off the ground if what? If she can't produce a ksuva. Because obviously, if you have a ksuva, everything is written in the ksuva itself. So let's say in the event that she can't produce a ksuva. So she shows up and says, you owe me 200 zuz. He says, no, you weren't a basula when we got married. You were a basula's second marriage. So I only owe you 100 zuz. So why don't we, perhaps you should be concerned over here that what? She really does have the ksuva. And what is she going to do? She's going to bring witnesses in this beis din over here that she got married. Now I want to be clear on this case. Let's say she really was a basula when she got married. She really was a basula. So she's going to produce witnesses that she was a basula when she got married over here. And then what? Poof, what's going to materialize in the next town? Her ksuva. Right, she claims right now, I can't find my ksuva. Let's say she really has it. She's going to produce edim here. She's going to collect 200 of those. And then in the next town, she's going to pull out her ksuva, her document. And if she's in possession of the ksuva, that usually indicates that what? That she has not yet collected. She's not been paid. And she'll collect double. To which the Gemara says, so I'm Rabbi Avo, Zosel Maris Kosvin Shover. Rabbi Avo says, oh, you see from here that what? That we write receipts. So listen to this. Now we'll get to this in the, is this above Mitzvah? Yeah, Baal Basra will see this. So this was alluded to in other Masechta. So I will say, this is actually very interesting. This is machlokes as to whether or not we write receipts. We write receipts. Now remember, the receipt over here would be given to the person who paid, right? A receipt that I've paid the ksuv already. And I will say, now, this is machlokes whether or not we write receipts. So you say to yourself, what would be the downside of writing receipts? So I will say, imagine back in the before the digital age, right? So what is the biggest challenge? Keeping paper records. Keeping paper records is an incredible. That was right. That was excellent. Right? So the idea is keeping paper records. Because what happens if there's a fire or something? So the Gemara brings down, so there's a machlok, it says writing shover, not writing a shover. Because although it sounds like a great idea to write a receipt, it then becomes the achrayus of the person who paid to forever watch that receipt, which is now a huge responsibility, because now lemaisa, what comes up is, if I can't produce that receipt, then I'm on the hook to potentially pay again. So the Gemara says, you see from here, the only way, therefore, to guard against her miraculously finding her ksuva, and once again what? And once again going out and collecting, is to write a shover, which is a huge responsibility on the husband. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Papa, no. Rav Papa says, what's the case over here? Listen to this. The case of the Mishnah Rabosa is talking about a situation where a city where they didn't write ksuvas. I will say, we're going to learn about this much more extensively. There were cities in which they didn't write ksuva documents. Why don't you write? Now, again, Rabosa, because it's not a big deal. It's either 200 or 100. That's it. So they had Edom about if she was a basula or not a basula, but they didn't write ksuva documents. If that's the case, they didn't write ksuva documents, to what, Rabosa? Then again, there is no ability for her to go to the next town and collect again based on producing a document, for the simple reason that what? There is no document. The Ika Damasni Law Abraisa. So I will say again, some explain. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi is over here, Rav Papa Amar, the Olam Ein Kosvin. Right? We don't write a shover. Dinim says that Tarak Lishmor Shover Min Achborim. Remember, documents are made on parchment. Parchment was often nibbled on by mice. So Rav Papa says, no, we don't make him write a shover. So what happened? In a place where they didn't write a shover, so you know what happened? They tore up the document. As soon as a person paid off the debt, the document was torn up, and if you can't produce a document of collection, nothing doing. So in a situation, therefore, where she doesn't have a ksuva, where there's no document, the most she can go ahead and collect once. Rashi says, "B'makom u'masnitz b'makom shen kosin ksuva." The Mishnah at a place where they don't write a ksuva, el somchin al tanoi bezin. Rather, we simply rely on the conditions of bezin. Shetiknu l'b'sulam asayin l'manamana. Dilekel mechash l'dilma hadra mafkava. So the Gemara. So therefore, I will say in this case, if not writing a ksuva, the most she can collect is once, and that's going to be it. To which the Gemara says, "Fine, v'gabi amravo." Sorry, I just lost the place. So, Ika Damasnila Abraisa. So, I will say this previous discussion was focused on the Mishnah. Others have this same discussion, but they rooted in a Braisa. What did the Braisa say? Ibda Ksuvasa, if a woman lost her Ksuva, or Hitmina Ksuvasa, or she hit her Ksuva, Nisrafa Ksuvasa, or her Ksuva was burnt. And now, what's the Shaila? The Shaila is she claims that she is entitled to 200 zuz. He claims that she's only entitled to 100 zuz. So what do we do? So listen to this. Rakdu lefaneha. So also, we're going to learn about all of this in depth. This is going to be tomorrow's daf. So I just want to tell you, don't miss tomorrow. Really, like, I'm just telling you that. I say that like, every day is like a gold mine, but tomorrow, I don't want to give it away. But you'll trust me on this. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry? It's mamish. I can't even put it into words. So the rest of the following. So let's say now what happens? The ksuva is gone and we don't know what to go ahead and do now. So what do we do? Again, we look at the circumstances of the wedding. Rakdu lefaneha. If they danced before the kala, ketzad mirakdin lifnei akala, that's tomorrow, right? So again, if they danced before the kala, sachaku lefaneha. Well, it's amazing. They did wedding shtick at the time of the Gemara also. It's interesting that so much stuff, even the shtick, right, has its sources already times of the Gemara. Have you lefaneha kol shel besora? They brought before her, literally, Rabbi Osai, this, we're going to get into this more and tomorrow. This is the cup of Besorah. Now, this you will not see today. Kos Shel Besorah, Rashi says, Hamavasar Aleha Simani Besulos. This was like a lechayim to the fact that she was a Besula. So like I said, you won't see that. And if you do see it, put a stop to it very quickly. But they used to make, I also understand, it's just different societal circumstances. Meaning you see over here, it's clear that people spoke about certain things that today people just don't speak about. So if they brought her the basula l'chaim, o mapa shel basulim, or they had the cloth. This is obviously, this is producing actual evidence. Someone had the wedding night sheet, which had the blood of the basulim. Im yesh la edim be'echam mikol elu, say she's able to produce. That they didn't bring to the wedding. That's not, it's mixing and matching. That's saying, remember, we saw that before, they would keep that sheet. They would keep that sheet as evidence of the fact that she was a basula. If she could produce witnesses that any of these things happened, they danced before me, I drank the basula l'chaim, or somebody has the sheet, then what? Then a ksuvah is 200 zuz. But maybe I should be choshish. That's what? Maybe she's going to produce witnesses in this bezdin, and then what? She claims she doesn't have her ksuva, but then miraculously she's going to find her ksuva in the next town. She's going to collect based on witnesses in this town and based on her ksuva in the next town. To which the Gemara says, "So oh, what do you see from here? Zoso meres kosvin shover. Oh, so it must be that we write a receipt. Therefore, after she collects based on the witnesses in this town, that we write a receipt to the husband saying that he has paid the ksuva, and therefore nothing else to talk about. She can't collect again, even if she miraculously finds her ksuva in the next town." But the Gemara says, here's the problem. I will say the problem over here is that if you say that you write a receipt, that's an incredible responsibility upon the husband. Rav Papa says, no, b'makom shein kosim ksuva askinam. Nope, not true. We're talking about a place where they don't write a ksuva. Because that Rabbi says, v'ha ibda ksuva askinam. Rabbi says, how could that be? If now, remember, when Rav Papa says that we don't write a ksuva, then l'maisa, what that means is, the only way for her to collect is with witnesses, and therefore, again, she cannot go ahead and collect a second die by producing a document. And I will discuss, there is a way that she could collect. How could she collect? She could pay off witnesses. And I will say, you know, it's very important in any legal system, you know, you can never fully protect anyone against absolute fraud. If somebody is intent on defrauding another party, there is no legal mechanism that can prevent that. Meaning, if somebody's going to be, you know, often a liar, and somebody's going to be just an explicit law, you can't protect against that. So a legal system can only work with normal people. But we'll come to that. So the Rav Papa therefore said, oh, we're talking about a place where they don't write a ksuva. So they're going to say, I won't say, how can you say it? The Braisa said, v'ha ibda ksuva sakatani. But the Braisa said that she lost her ksuva. She lost her ksuva. Obviously, there was one written. The kasav la ihu. Because we're talking about a case where even though it was a locale that they don't normally write a ksuva, he wrote a ksuva for her. He wrote the ksuva for Nebos, and you could have that. A man could willingly write a ksuva, even if the general custom was not to write a ksuva. The Gemara says, but one second. Sof, mafkala, v'gavya ba. So which the Gemara says, but one second, if that's the case, then lamaisa, we're back to our previous question, which is she can collect twice. To which the Gemara says, no, my ivda, what's the case of ivda where it was lost? Ivda ba'or, it was lost in the fire, therefore there's no possibility of collection. Ihachi hainu nisrfa. But if that's the case, then you have two repetitive cases, right, of Nisrfa and Ibda. Va'od hitmina ma'ikel emeimar. Furthermore, again, what do you do with the case of hitmina? It says that she hid it. So what's there to talk about? V'su Ibda lamali, ela kol Ibda ki hitmina befanein adami. Rather, any case of where she lost it is like a case of where? Of where she hid it in our presence. Velo yahavinon la ad da amri edim nisra, excuse me, velo yahavinon ad da amri edim nisra fa ksuvasa, to which the Gemara says, and we will not give her anything until witnesses come forward and say that the ksuva ultimately is lost. So I'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Ella hachi kamar, kol ibda kemishit mina befaneinu dami, anytime she lost her ksuva, as if she hid it in our presence, velo gavya, and therefore she can't collect. Vahachi katoni, this is what it means to say, ibda ksuvasa, hitmina ksuvasa, nisrafa ksuvasa, imroktu lufandeha, vahachi perusha, amra avad shtar ksuvasa, hariyu kemoshe hitmina ksuvasa befaneinu, kedei lahotzi v'ligvos pam shnia, ve'eino gove klum, ele imkin tavi ashtar, vim amra nisrafa, v'yesh edim shenisrafa, tahashta leka lamecha shlamidi, tavi edim shartofanasa. So listen to this. According to this Bryce, what the Bryce is saying is, if we know she had a document, but she's claiming the document is gone, it's gone, then Lamaisa what? She cannot collect anything until she produces the document. But if Lamaisa, she goes ahead and she claims that the document was destroyed, then Einachinami, she will be believed once she is able to produce witnesses. So the Gemara says, so it appears that we have the same basic ruling, but one attached to the Braisa, one attached to our Mishnah. Saman de Masni la Abraisa Koshkina Masnisin. So the one who framed this discussion as part of the Braisa will certainly agree that it applies to the Mishnah as well. Uman de Masni la Amasnisin, but the one who had this discussion as it applies to the Mishnah, Aval Abraisa will not agree with the version of the Braisa. Why? Because all of the questions that we raised, i.e. the repetitive nature of that braisa in terms of ibda and hitmina. Let's go a little bit weiter, and then I want to do one piece of halacha before we end. Im yesh edom, so Basai, remember again, now what did the Mishnah say? So in this situation where there is no ksuva, the ksuva is gone, and she claims that she was a basula, he claims that she was a ba'ula, there's no document, so what does the Mishnah say? She has to produce witnesses. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, why don't we say, v'leichosh duma mafki edehinuma b'hai beizdin, the gav to which the Gemara says, why aren't we concerned that perhaps what? Perhaps she's going to produce these edehinuma in this bezdin and then produce the same edehinuma in another bezdin. Why don't we be concerned about that? Meaning also what the Gemara is asking over here is you make it sound like the only time she can perpetrate fraud is on Lemaisa, again, she has a ksuva. But it's not true. She could perpetrate fraud even with who? With the witnesses, right? She could make a very good business proposition with these witnesses. Let's go town to town. We'll keep claiming the ksuva. And what? We'll split it. So how do we prevent against that? To which the Gemara says, you're right, Einachinami. The Gemara says, Bimakom delo efshar vaday kasvinan shover. You know what? You're absolutely right. Obviously, as much as we are against writing a receipt, because writing a receipt places an incredible onus upon the husband, but lamaisa, again, where there is no choice but to write a receipt, then of course we will do that. So Bosei, we'll stop over here for today. This haviru lefaneha kosher bracha. Let me just read to you one important halacha, just so we get a little bit of halacha lamaisa in the sugya. So this is an Evana Ezer, Simin Tzadik Vav Sif Tes Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is the following. He says, Misha haya nasui, wrong halacha. He omeres besula nisasani. She claims that she was a besula. She got married to him as a besula. And what happens? Uksuvasa masayim. And my ksuva therefore is 200 zuz. Vavbal ola yershim omrim lo kela amano. Ksuvasa nevda. I'm sorry, ela ki amano. So we'll say, that's our Mishnah. She claims I was a besula, and I was entitled to 200 zuz. He claims, no, you're an amana or a grusha, and your ksuva is only 100 zuz. And what happens? Vaksuva nevda. Omimakum shen kosin ksuva. So let's say again, the ksuva is gone. Either ksuva is gone because they live in a place where they don't write ksuvas, or more likely is what? She lost the document. So what do we do? So how do we resolve this case? Im yesh edim sha'asla kimenaga besulos ksuvas aresh afilu haya katan kishera edos va'achshav hugadol v'yesh acher imam mahani v'im esrabosai. So what do we say? If there's testimony, if there are witnesses that say that she was a besul at the time of her marriage, i.e., meaning it's circumstantial evidence, she went down with her hair down, or she wore the hinuma, which you don't even know what that is yet, or they gave out parched grain. If there are two witnesses to testify that she was a besul at the time of her wedding, meaning, remember, all they know is that it was the wedding of a besula, then they are believed. But listen to this chiddush. The chiddush is, even if one of those witnesses was a katan at the time of the wedding, and now he's a gadol when he's testifying. I will say, normally, you are not believed to testify about things that you observed as a child, as an adult. Here, the chiddush is that even if one of the witnesses, you need one kasha witness, but even if one of the witnesses testifies that I was a kid, I was a flower girl, wouldn't be good. Is there a flower boy? Oh, hopefully not. Or hopefully not. It's not good. Right? So again, you know, I was the ring bearer, whatever it was. I was there as a kid, and now he's a gadol. He's believed as well. However, he says, V'im ein edim, but what says they can't produce any witnesses, then the halacha is lo titel ela mona. Then ultimately, again, she is only entitled to collect the mona. So what says, so we paskin pretty much like the Tanakama in the Mishnah, that in the absence of a ksuva, you have to produce edim. But remember, all these edim need to attest to is that we remember that they were besula, that this was a Besula-like wedding. We saw things at the wedding normally associated with the wedding of Besula. That will allow her to collect 200 zuz. Absence of that edos, she only collects 100 zuz.